What if this isn't a climate crisis, but the greatest opportunity humanity has had in a long time? Lean Into Clean will explore and discuss with highly esteemed guests on what could be the new spirals for society, sustainability, spirituality, and social harmony. Perhaps we've all lost our way. Lean Into Clean will showcase how we might remember, refocus and restore the natural ways so we can again live in balance and harmony with life on Earth and all its inhabitants. Welcome to this week's Lean Into Clean. I'm Jarvis Smith. This is UK Health Radio. Happy Monday, everybody. How are you all doing out there? There's a bit of a big thing going on today. The new American President Trump is going to be inaugurated, sworn into presidency. I was looking at headlines about Donald this morning, and one of them says, and I think this is pretty much nails it, Donald Trump likened to a wrecking ball for climate action, but the damage may be less than feared. Now, Donald Trump is expected to bulldoze environmental rules, targets and commitments during his second presidency. But it goes on to say, but America was no climate saint to begin with. So here's my kind of viewpoint on this. I try not to look at things positively or negatively because I think everything has two sides to it. So obviously, if I'm looking at something in a polarized way, that I'm not embracing the whole thing. So just to get that out there, first of all, as a caveat or disclaimer, when Donald Trump came into presidency previously, and one of the first things he did was claim that he is a climate denier, so he doesn't believe in the climate crisis in the way that 98% of scientists do. Secondly, he pulled out of the Paris Agreement. Now, the Paris Agreement is the global commitment by nearly all the nation states, not all, obviously, but nearly all the nation states, to reduce and bring carbon emissions down and therefore slow down global warming. And therefore, we might have a better chance in dealing with this issue that we've got, which we are calling a climate crisis. Now, my take is this. When Donald Trump did that back in 2016, I think it was, it was the biggest news that the Paris Agreement could have actually got, because it was on every headline mainstream media outlet. And actually, it had an adverse effect in a sense that, oh my gosh, if Donald Trump's doing this, then we need to step up and do stuff. So other countries actually made a commitment. So negative created a positive, right? So that's why I try not to take a polarized viewpoint on things. Of course, that's not easy to do, but everything's polarization in our planet. We've got day and night and, you know, male and female and in and out breath. And, you know, it just kind of goes on and on and on. But maybe if we look at some of the ancient philosophers, then the point between two extremes or the point between two aspects of polarization is where the magic is. Maybe that's the sweet spot. And it actually brings me really, really nicely and deliciously into my two guests today. I met these two at the Blue Earth Summit, which is one of the UK's leading climate conferences. I was invited by the organisers, actually, Blue Earth Summit, to speak to this team that run this thing that I didn't know what it was called Uncomfortable Conversations. And I was like, oh, I like the sound of that. And then I started to get a bit uncomfortable myself in just the very thing of taking part in an uncomfortable conversation. So it really got me to kind of feel juicily into my own feelings and emotions about how am I with uncomfortable conversations. I mean, how much opinion do I have and how much in the echo chamber am I, etc., etc. Anyway, so I decided that I was going to do my talk with this wonderful team about my connection to spirituality, which I actually think is quite a taboo subject. And anyway, but that brings me nicely on to today's guest. They accepted me, they understood it, they created the most amazing space at this conference. We had hundreds of people sitting in a room, and I tell you what, the diversity in the conversations was absolutely magical. I'm not going to share too much more about it because I want really these two to come and speak to you about what they do and why they do it, but also what, how did they get into this in the first place? Because I bet there's some great background stories. So I'm going to read a little bit out to you. First of all, I'm going to introduce my first guest, which is Tess Vaimea. I hope I've pronounced your surname correctly. Tess is a non-binary intersex founder, leadership strategist, and advisor. Wild-hearted, highly empathetic, and not being afraid to be confrontational. Good job, really, the role that you've taken. Tess advises and supports pioneering economies to transform, transition, and flourish in uncertainty. How cool is that? Coming from a global career in urbanism, design, innovation, and creative leadership, Tess bridges these intersections, building infrastructures for life and embodying ongoing change in this meta crisis. Tess has founded three companies. One of them is an unidentified facility on site. When I saw UFO, I thought it was about spaceships then. But anyway, and Future Fluid, currently co-founding Uncomfortable Conversations. She specializes in prototyping uncomfortable spaces that exist on the threshold of change. I think that's the same thing that I'm talking about, this point between two extremes, offering both a sense of discomfort of creative leadership and bio leadership. Sorry, my apologies. Discomfort and the possibility of new beginnings, and an alumni of Think School for Creative Leadership and Bio Leadership Fellow. They are currently finishing their practice-based PhD in fluid leadership at the Manchester School of Art. Gosh, that was a wonderful bio. And now also my second guest, and they are a tag team, these two. They're kind of partners in uncomfortableness, is Charlotte Sewell. She's a freelance facilitator and an advisor focused on accelerating organization responses to the climate and ecological emergency. She is passionate about working with networks and communities to strengthen best practices sharing and ground climate action in climate justice. She works at the network level alongside communities of businesses, board members, and philanthropic trusts and foundations to accelerate new thinking and practices that better address both climate and biodiversity breakdown and our escalating social justice crisis. She's passionate about multi-stakeholder approaches, particularly the ways in which thoughtful, intersectional, and interdisciplinary conditions can deepen collaboration. As co-founder of Business Stand Up, she supports a network of business leaders exploring the intersection between building a new economy, which we so badly need, protecting democracy, which we so badly need, and accelerating regulation change that will better address the climate, biodiversity, and social justice crisis. She also runs the interdisciplinary UK New Economy Network, UK21, which focuses on cross-pollinating learnings from lived experience and learned expertise to strengthen economic systems change. At UK21, she convenes accountants, lawyers, community leaders, primary to business school educators, artists, scientists, board members, and CEOs to come together to share ideas, test and improve projects, and deepen collaboration. Tess and Charlotte, welcome to Lean Into Clean. Thank you for coming to join us today.
Thank you so much for having us, Jarvis.
So amazing to be in the first radio show of 2025 with you.
Yay! I agree, I agree. So let's kick this off because that was a, you know, quite an introduction. When you both listen back to your bios, and Tess, we'll start with you. Do you think, oh, there's something missing from that, or does it nail it? What else would you like our listeners to know about you?
I think you nailed it quite good. I mean, over the last years, I purposely describe myself as a strategic edge walker. So someone who is
I
very,
love that.
Who both knows, I mean, I to my life, I always saw myself as a misfit or odd one, or like, and then also capitalize on this thing. There's opportunity in that. And a strategic edge walk is a person who knows how to walk at the edges, but also in the center, and knows how we need those people who are transformative and transitional, but also are able to ride the waves of these crises. And an edge walker is obviously someone who is comfortable being at the edge, but
Yeah.
also walking the edge. So I think maybe add that to it.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. I love that. Oh, that's yeah, that's quite a powerful statement to be that kind of edge walker. Thank you. Tess, just to let the listeners know, your accent is from, you are from where?
I'm German, so my accent is slightly German, but I'm living in the last 10 years in the Netherlands with my Dutch partner, and very frequently in the UK. So people confuse me with the Australian accent, but it's indeed German.
Beautiful, thank you. Just I think everybody would be trying to work it out, so let's let them know so they can think about deeper stuff. Charlotte, let's just go over to you. Anything in that bio that you think, oh, it doesn't say this about me?
Well, yeah, mainly in that bio thinking, oh my goodness, so many words. I guess there's loads that it says and loads it doesn't say. I think well, as you've noticed, Tess, although speaking German and Dutch, also teaches me many words, and the word of edge walking was something that I'd never really encountered before I met Tess, but I love that. And I think I often talk about the work I do as building bridges. I see myself as a bit of a generalist addict. I really like trying to hang out in lots of different spaces and encourage ways that those communities can talk to each other. Something that I think I would love to kind of banish is silos. I think I have a kind of a thread running through my work is that I really hate waste. And one of the things I hate is wasted opportunities for people with different perspectives, understandings, and expertise to understand each other. So I love the times when I can be at that hodgepodge, be at the intersection, be in those edge spaces where people are sharing ideas across very different communities. And like Tess, I have a bit of a hodgepodge accent too. I have threads of the north. I moved around UK all the time as a child, so I have northern twang sometimes, Midlands twang other times, and then I was in the southeast for a long time. I also get accused of being from New Zealand often, which is probably a compliment. So yeah, and a hodgepodge accent to cover the hodgepodge work.
Beautiful. I get that as well, funnily enough. We're often, because I've traveled around and been in a lot of different places and had different cultures growing up, Indian and West Indian, and my mum's English, and all these different accents going on. So people often say, are you Australian or New Zealand or something? I'm like, no, I'm just English, just got a hodgepodge. But a couple of things lovely that you said. I mean, just, I love the way you describe yourselves as an edge walker and generalist addict. I think these, brilliant. It's clear that you two came together for a reason. Let me just very quickly, as somebody said to me, I remember years and years ago, if you're not living on the edge, then you're taking up too much room. And it really stuck with me, actually. So just wanted to throw that out there. But how did you two come together in order to co-create in this space of discomfort and uncomfortableness?
Beautiful question. Tess, do you want to go first?
Okay, I go. So we initially met at the BioLeadership Fellowship. It's an amazing organization called BioLeadership Project, where they bring leadership into nature. How can we lead with nature? And I've been on the first cohort in 21 during COVID, and Charlotte in the consecutive one. And we met that the common background we had, like, was also spirituality in some way.
Yeah.
Charlotte as the daughter of a vicar, and I'm the product of grandparents have been missionaries in China. So these have been connecting times, and then we kept in contact and thought we really need to work together, and we share our board how uncomfortable conversations came up. But Charlotte, to you.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, it was gorgeous. So Jarvis, this whole thing, the BioLeadership Fellowship, is this amazing global north, global south online community of people bringing nature into their leadership in all sorts of ways. You know, people rewilding the Lebanon, planting trees, people conserving coral reefs in big ocean nations, people thinking about how can we make insurance companies operate more like ecosystems. It's proper bonkers, really amazing constellation of humans. And once I'd been involved in BioLeadership for about a year, all sorts of people from across the community kept saying, "You need to talk to Tess. Oh my God, you would love Tess." And eventually I followed their advice. And like Tess said, it was actually our kind of connection to what I think of Tess as kind of Northern European spirituality that connected us, because we were meeting lots and lots of fellows in this bioleadership community who'd found a really interesting and generative relationship to Eastern wisdom around meditation, around circadian rhythms, around connection to spirituality and nature. And Tess and I think, were feeling a bit like misfits because we'd come from maybe a more traditional Judeo-Christian, Northern European approach to spirituality. And we were thinking, well, what are the components that we would love from that religion to guide us? And actually, what are the things we are really looking for that we haven't found in the German, Dutch, British versions of these churches? I've grown up in the messy of the Church of England and the things that I think it does really well and really badly. Yeah, there were bits of it. There were ingredients of the Jesus story, of what I saw some amazing churches trying to do that I really kind of was hungry to find out more about. So yeah, Tess and I talked a lot about, yeah, how does East meet West when it comes to different spiritual traditions? What are the bits about this story of a Jesus figure walking up a mountain that tell us about nature connection? And yeah, and then through that, we discovered that we had this shared passion for discomfort, really, for experiencing what it means to have conversations that are difficult and to try to actually consciously make space to confront uncomfortable conversations. And we noticed
So,
both parts of lots of different communities. We noticed that was something that was missing in many of the places we hang out.
yeah, I love that. Just explain to me from your perspective what you would describe as an uncomfortable conversation, because I think everybody at home will be listening. Kind of, I just perhaps wanting to get a little bit more perspective on what you might mean by that. Let's just open this out a little bit.
Such a good question. So, I would say, like, look, I mean, I've 2019, I came out as trans, as transgender, and I went through a very life-changing a way of how I see myself, how I've been seen in society, and it was a time where I wouldn't know, will my marriage survive? How will I be seen in society? And that was deeply uncomfortable. And talking about this even more, because there's so much societal conceptions about being transgender, especially now with whatever Trump is unleashing on U.S. world, is deeply concerning about trans people. So I think uncomfortable conversation is something where it's both about talking about the discomfort of being, but also the uncomfortableness about emotions and how we are dealing with these emotions we are experiencing currently, or emotions which we are aspiring to, like all the chaos, the annoyances, the wars, change in political situation, but also emotions like vulnerability, courage, hope, endurance, and standing in my truth, being radically compassionate, being sensitive, being transformational, being transitional, being fearless. Those are emotions which are highly uncomfortable. So we need ways. How do we thrive in this uncertainty, in this discomfort which you're experiencing? Both developing ways how we can use these emotions and live with them and live through them, and also talking about the highly uncomfortable situations we are in.
Okay, lovely. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I guess, I don't want to pry too deeply into your personal story, but Charlotte, would you like to add anything else to that?
Yeah, I mean, Tess used so many beautiful words to describe what might be uncomfortable, vulnerability, courage,
Yeah.
exercising how we can really practice being radically compassionate. I think I'd say one thing many of us can agree on is that we live in a rapidly changing world.
Yep.
And we also live in a world where we may be having lots of conversations in new, quite exciting bubbles. The internet has made us find the communities we love. We get into niches and we find the people often use the phrase, I found my tribe, I found my community. And that's really exciting. But what we're also seeing is, especially in big public spaces, we've actually, I think, sometimes got a bit out of practice of learning how to disagree well together. Some people call this disagreeing disagreeably. And certainly in the UK, where I live, the politics is very adversarial. We have one side of the political house sits opposite the other side. And we actually are showing every day our children that the leaders of our country fight like children in a playground. And that is very much the dominant way that we are having conversations across divides. We even call them across the divide conversation. And we're often just reinforcing this idea that there might be two poles, two binaries who are against each other, who will always be in conflict. And that just strikes me as quite an interesting way to have chosen to live and to set up our societies. And always for me, the places where I've done the most learning, where I've got to hang out, listen to two people chatting who see the world totally differently. And so I think we all know inherently what an uncomfortable conversation feels like in our body. That feeling, maybe your jaw clamps down, maybe you get that horrid feeling in your stomach, that pit of your stomach, maybe your heart races, you get sweaty. Could be because you're in trouble, it could be because someone said something you find offensive, it could be because you're having to bring up something that's quite awkward. And I guess I just got really excited by the idea of what would it be like if we were all training to get better at having those uncomfortable conversations.
Brilliant.
Tess and I talk about this school of discomfort. What would it be like if we were all learning in school how to be uncomfortable? And what magic could happen if we weren't afraid of that?
Yeah, lovely, beautiful. So we're going to get into some of those uncomfortable conversations that you've witnessed or been a part of, or really helped you to understand how to navigate through this process, because clearly you are experts now in the field. We're going to have to go to a commercial break. Stay with us. We shall be back with Tess and Charlotte just in a few minutes.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. This is Jarvis Smith. I'm on Lean Into Clean UK Health Radio. I'm here with Tess and Charlotte. We're talking about uncomfortable conversations. Have you ever had uncomfortable conversations? Or you guys and girls listening out there, and how did it make you feel? So we're going to find out now from Charlotte and Tess some of the situations that you've been in, either personally or where you've been, I guess, playing the role of guiding or consulting or helping people to navigate through uncomfortable conversations. Anything that really sticks out for you both, that you think would be a kind of good lesson for everybody listening? Who wants to go first? I don't mind which.
Yeah, happy to.
You go
Oh,
first.
lovely. You both did. You were so in sync, you two.
Hold
Well,
on.
I think the main thing is Tess and I are still learning what works, and what works for different people and at different times and in different moments. I think it really changes. How do you have a good, uncomfortable conversation with your mum, with your family, with that awkward uncle who you always disagree with? Versus how do we make healthy, uncomfortable conversations happen in the workplace or with our friends in the pub? It's so different, right? Each time. I actually run a program at the moment where It's a peer learning crew, and we're all practicing our uncomfortable conversation skills together. And oh my goodness, that is just so fascinating. For some people, it's about connecting to their breath and breathing and pausing. For lots of people, it's actually about listening. You know, the phrase uncomfortable conversation maybe makes us immediately think about how we talk, what we say, whether we get the tone of our voice right. And that stuff does really matter. But I think often we're not spending enough time talking about actually just how we stay curious and how we listen when we're talking with people who disagree with us, probably because we're living in such a fast-paced world. We're trying to get things done quickly. We're summarizing, we're jumping in. But I think only I can talk to what I've experienced. And when I got really some really great training in active listening and slowing down and spotting when I actually really was not listening to the other person, when I was jumping to what I was going to say, to why I hated their ideas, that was when I tripped up more and the conversation got more heated or kind of didn't go anywhere and wasn't satisfying for either of us. So yeah, I might just say the simple thing of listening has been a key one for me, but there are, oh my God, there are so many skills involved as well.
No, that's really good. It's funny, I was reminded when you were talking about all the different areas, of course, because there's so many dynamics. There's people you just bump into on the street, yes, family, that's it's why so many people fall out of Christmas, because they fall back into old patterns and things when they get back into the family dynamic. But one of the things that it just made me smile, I was just thinking about how, particularly in the West, how opinionated we've become when we're watching television. So you're watching these TV shows and you're kind of like, oh, I wouldn't, and how dare you say that? And we can be quite vocal, can't we? And they even made a TV show about people watching TV and what people are saying. It just made me smile, like how far culture and media has come. I think,
Yeah,
Charlotte,
Gogglebox.
this might.
Shout out to Gogglebox, Jarvis.
Yeah,
One of my
exactly,
favorite TV shows
Gogglebox,
ever.
exactly.
If you've never seen that's such a gorgeous example because it's a medley of people all over the UK watching the same bits of TV and having their own chats in their own living rooms. And I love that show because it just kind of celebrates how random and abundant all our different opinions are. Yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's super entertaining. Charlotte, I'm going to take this moment. Tess, I do want to come to you and ask you the same question. But I think this might be a good moment to play your record, Charlotte, because we try and get two songs in the show. We're going to have one from each of you. This is a song that is. I've asked you to bring me a song that is either a soundtrack to your life or your work or how you show up in the world. Tell us the song that you've chosen, Charlotte.
Yeah, I've chosen a song called World Sick. So when you're feeling sick of the world, World Sick by an awesome Canadian band. They're a cool collective. So sometimes they're 11 people, sometimes they're in the 20s,
Oh,
amazing
wow.
musicians, and they're called Broken Social Scene.
Oh, brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Let's hear this then, and then you can tell me why you chose it. And then Tess will come back to you, I promise. Oh, what a great record. I've never heard that before, but it's full of energy. Why did you choose that, Charlotte? Apart from the obvious, the World Sick title.
Well, like a lot of my favorite music, it came from my older sister. I've had a gorgeous childhood of hearing music pouring down from her bedroom and thinking, what is this? And running upstairs so I can hang out with her and find out what the music is. So yeah, I've loved this band for a long time. I chose this one because it's from a really kind of energizing album of theirs. And personally, I do get world sick, and I think a lot of the work I do when I'm reading and working in climate change, when I'm trying to do really difficult stuff with businesses who are trying to change late stage capitalism, it can feel quite overwhelming and you can get quite defeated. So I need music in my life that spurs me on, that gets me going, that amps me up on the bus or on a jog or getting a train into a meeting. And I really just find something about the crazy noise and the mess of Broken Social Scene to just be really exciting. And I love this idea of this fluid collective of humans. And there's something in the lyrics of this one. I mean, lots of the lyrics are quite wild and hard to understand, but it talks about how we get world sick, we get exhausted maybe every time we take a stand, you know, when we stand up for what we believe in. And yet, when I listen to this song, I get completely filled with energy in the sense that there are loads of other people trying to do stuff too. So yeah,
Nice.
I'm using it to pep me up on tough
Yeah,
days.
beautiful, beautiful. That what a great soundtrack to the life that you've chosen, certainly at this stage. Okay, Tess, so I'm going to ask you the same question that I asked Charlotte. We can, I mean, what it was, just to reiterate, was, where in your life have, a really obvious uncomfortable situation come up that is worth sharing, either for you personally or when you've been guiding or working with people? And what are the obvious skills that you've noticed that you've got that perhaps others might not have, that need to learn to be more comfortable with being uncomfortable?
So much. That's such a good question. I think a conversation which I would recall at the moment is one from our last uncomfortable conversations at Blue Earth Summit last year in London. And on that stage, together with Kai, a good friend of us from the Global South, from
Kai's been on the radio show, Tess.
yeah.
So our listeners will know Kai.
And together we had this this provocation on global shedding and the need for uncomfortable spaces. And in that, which we both had this idea that obviously Kai, coming from a work with as a doula and a midwife to help bringing new things into the world. And from my side, I think we are currently in this stage of where lots of things are breaking down, but we're talking a lot about breakdown and chaos and dooms, but we don't talk enough about the birthing of new ideas and going pregnant with ideas. And then there is obviously the birth point, which is highly about also about friction. So we don't talk enough about frictions in our lives, which we need to embrace, and hormones, or how we are guided by those strong emotions. And then there is the shedding, which is a highly bloody, highly nasty thing. I mean, I never experienced one, but obviously, Kaya was talking about this, and so also then in terms of our world, what do we need to shed currently? What do we need to know, which is a bloody version of and then goes about transitioning and transformation, and it goes up. So I think that kind of uncomfortableness, talking about what do we want to bring into this world new, and then it's about new leadership, it's about a fluid leadership. And I think what is important for me, like seeing ourselves more as shapeshifters, as polymorphs, how I call them. How can we shapeshift in various forms which we experience in these next years? What kind of new shapeshifting capabilities do we need to thrive in uncertainty? So I think that is, for me, where we don't talk enough about.
Beautiful, thank you. You know what? It's funny, as you're talking, I'm reminded of, this kind of wokeism that we've kind of emerged into, particularly in the West. And then suddenly now we're going perhaps the opposite polarized way, because now we've got into a leader that, Trump. And yeah, I wouldn't say that he's a particular leader for wokeism. You've just reminded me of just. It's so many layers, isn't there? And there's so many different versions of things. And it's like, I think I love people that just love it or hate it, just tell the truth. I can deal with the truth. I can deal with, but when people are kind of sidestepping around it and not really saying it, but you feel it, and it's like, so I've become a bit of a, my wife says to me, I'm perhaps a little bit too outspoken, because I do tend to say what's on my mind without really thinking about who I might be hurting and the consequences of that. I'm not vicious, but I just do like to speak the truth. Do you think that that is, in fact, I'll tell you what we're going to do, because this is going to get, I think, really juicy. Let's go to the next commercial break. I'm going to come back to you both with the question of, how important is being true to yourself when it gets into uncomfortable conversations? And because that's
Oh,
something
great
I'd even
question.
and then once we've kind of uncovered that a bit, and you can share with me your philosophy on that and also experiences, I want you to tell me also what might be lining up. So we're going to go to a commercial break. We're going to hear about what's lining up for the Uncomfortable team this year. I know there's going to be some exciting stuff. So I'll see you back here in just a few minutes.
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, welcome back. Tess, let's get straight into this. Because we are, gosh, can you believe that we're 2/3 through the show already? I want to play your record as well, but just to reiterate the question for those that might have just tuned in or just got just swayed away by the adverts. Tess, uncomfortable conversations. What is it that really stands out for you in the either personally or in situations that you've been in where you've been acting as a coach, as a guide? Or anything at all that you think would be a really poignant story when it comes to having uncomfortable conversations.
So I talked about edge walkers before, and so what I observe is that people don't want to become an edge walker. They don't want to be an odd one, but inherently everyone is walking at the edge currently. Everyone is highly uncomfortable. Everyone is highly burnt out, anxiety driven, fear. So people don't want to be an edge walker, but they are edge walking in reality. And so I think what is really uncomfortable is this notion of staying alive and just getting through it and where we are, and trying not to be of too big disturbances. And the other point, like being fully alive. And I think staying true to yourself means
Yeah.
being fully alive. And whatever that costs for you, or whatever that chance are, I think I would go fully for that.
So being true to yourself is a quality that I think many of us are not brought up in a way to be true to ourselves, are we? I think that certainly the education system that you go into. Possibly parentals in some cases. Certainly, when you go into a working environment, you kind of have to play by the rules, and it's all a bit of a farce, isn't it? And I mean, I chose to work independently for myself. My wife and I, we run a business together. I've done that since my very, very early 20s because I knew that if I was going to go into a situation where these rules were going to try and keep me bound, I would just constantly be trying to break free, so I just chose not to. Charlotte, how important is it in being true to yourself so that we can get into these? I mean, they're conversations that we need to be having on a daily basis. Like there's people being killed in the world, there's wars going on, there's children not getting enough food, there's horrible stuff going on. So how can, well, firstly, how important is it, and how can we be more true to ourselves?
Yeah, I think it's such a good question, Jarvis. And like you say, it needs to be asked alongside thinking about a world where we've got people getting insanely rich while the divide between how poor people are is just accentuating every day. We're living in a lot of heated times, really global crisis times. So actually, there's quite a lot to face up to that's pretty ugly and uncomfortable and quite scary. But there's so much beauty and excitement to be had in actually acknowledging and facing up to some of this stuff. I think one of the reasons, Tess talked about, a world with growing anxiety, a lot of people feeling burnt out. And I get this sort of hunch that maybe one of the reasons we often do feel sick is that we are not being honest about how we feel about certain things in the world, or we're not talking about them, or we don't know how. You on Instagram, And you think you're going in just to check on how a friend of yours is, and then you see this kind of ambient genocide happening in your face, or you see a really scary wildfire or a horrible fire in a clothing redistribution center in Africa, and you start to think, oh my God, there's so much that's broken. And then you get on with your day and you don't talk about it, and you nip into the supermarket, and that kind of disjunct, I think, can feel really grim and make us sort of feel unhealthy, feel sick. So I guess being true to that, to the fact that we're living in really strange times where we are in this globalized world, but yet there's such a disparity in the lives that we live compared to the lives that other less lucky people might live. I think kind of for me, being true to yourself is just acknowledging that we live in this really messed up, strange time where we have huge improvement in life, loads of exciting advancements in health that are protecting and supporting a lot more people to live really thriving lives alongside a world of conflict and huge pain and wealth hoarding and greed that is exacerbating suffering. So for me, I'd also want us to be a bit careful about how we use that phrase, be true to myself, because I think actually it could make us sort of dig our heels in, you know, I'm just being true to myself. I can imagine someone saying, and actually, I think most of our truths are a bit more messy, you know? I think we're often, like you're talking about with work or parents or childhood, you can, as a kid, maybe be put in a box or think you have to choose a box to be put in yourself, you know? I'm going to be a tomboy. I'm going to be scientific. I'm going to be artistic, whatever it is. And maybe in more of us, there's just like a lovely, messy chaos. What's that lovely phrase? You know, we contain multitudes. And actually, I would really encourage us to think about what does being true to your multitudes mean, you know? And if we had that in our mind when we entered a chat, how cool would that be? Because we wouldn't think, I'm a person who reads this newspaper. I'm a person who votes this way. I'm a person who does this and I think this. Therefore, we wouldn't maybe set ourselves up in opposition to the people who aren't part of those groups or those boxes. And maybe we'd be like, oh, there's a bit in my messy multitude that kind of agrees with that fragment of what you said, even though I also disagree with this. I don't know. Am I making sense, Jarvis?
You are completely, and you're absolutely right. I totally agree with you. Yeah, you've made absolute sense. Tess, let's go back to you. I'd love to play your song because, there's a song that you've chosen that will be a soundtrack to how you show up in the world or the work that you do. And so tell us what song you've chosen, and then afterwards, after we've played it, you can tell me why you chose it.
So I choose the song "A New Noise" from Refused. It's a bit punky, and you need to listen to it carefully.
Thank you. Here we are, New Noise. Oh wow, what a powerful record. Amazing. Tess, why did you choose that record for your soundtrack?
Because of the text to it inherently. So I mean, on this day, on this unique day of where things are going to change radically for the next 4 years and beyond, these lines like, we lack the motion to move on a new beat. We dance to all the wrong songs. We enjoy all the wrong moves. We dance to the wrong songs. We are not leading. So, I mean, we need this new noise, new art for the real people. I mean, this is speaking inherently to all the changes that are coming and where we need to stand and be uncomfortable. I mean, no better song, I think.
Great. Thank you. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful description. Thank you. Right, we're coming to the end of the show, ladies. I'm so sorry. Time does fly. I've got two questions for you. Tess, we'll start with you. What do you think are the most uncomfortable conversations around today? Like, what are the conversations that we really should be having? Bit of a curveball there for you. And then, Charlotte, I'm going to ask you once Tess has finished, just to tell us what plans you've got this year, how people can find you and connect with you. So, Tess, the big uncomfortable conversations, what are they?
I think it's about waking up. People waking up to this world, which is already in change, in transition for a long time, but they're waking up to a situation which is highly uncomfortable.
I love what you've said
I think
there because
the
I absolutely agree.
biggest thing is fear, 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 fear.
I often say to people that, it's time, and I certainly try to do this every day in my morning practice, is to elevate my vibration or frequency or the way I show up in the world to be the best version and to live in the new paradigm, which is not guided or controlled by fear. So I do that literally every day. And I tell you what, it works. So thank you for that, Tess. Charlotte, what have you got going on, and how do people get hold of you and find you both and connect with you?
Oh, amazing. Thanks, Jarvis. Well, anyone who is keen and interested should go to uncomfortable.love to find out more. We have a Substack newsletter you can sign up to. We'd love to welcome you into our collective where we're practicing this art of unleashing the radically caring potential of being uncomfortable together. So come join the fun, join the Substack. We can also share links on both of our social media, which I know are tagged here. Tess and I are both very active on LinkedIn too, so come and say hello. In terms of what we've got planned, all the world of what's happening around Uncomfortable is super exciting. This work was founded and kicked off by a conversation between Matt Hocking and Vero Rodriguez, some friends of ours. We've built that conversation into some amazing events in partnership with conferences. You can hear us more with the Blue Earth Summit, who we're doing some work with. We've got a lot of exciting plans with other festivals coming up, which we'll be announcing on our socials soon. So that's where we host uncomfortable public conversations and discussions. We are also working behind the scenes on brewing up some really amazing opportunities for you to take part in the School of Discomfort. So this is our practice, our work around how we can all practice and improve our skills being uncomfortable together. There's an online peer crew at the moment happening right now of individuals in the world of sustainability practicing their uncomfortable conversation skills. You can sign up to the waiting list for those, all sorts of ways to get involved. So please do come find us at uncomfortable.love, join up to the Substack, and you'll hear all about it.
Uncomfortable.love. What a great domain. That's absolutely fantastic. I like to make predictions. I've been doing it all of my career, and I often back and pick winners. I'm really excited about what you two, firstly, who you are as people, who you are as a team, the work that you do. You totally inspired me, and I don't inspire easily. I really don't. I'm sorry. I've got a bit gray, long in the tooth and grey in the hair. But you did genuinely inspire me, because what you brought together at the Uncomfortable Conversations at Blue Earth Summit was, I think it's probably the best panel I've ever been to at a climate conference. So thank you for inspiring me with showing up and just allowing myself to be a bit more uncomfortable. So if you want to check out Tess and Charlotte, it's uncomfortable.love. Thank you so much for coming to join us. I'd love to have you back on again in a few months so we can talk about developments and how things are growing. You are genuine superstars. Thank you for showing up in the world in the way that you have. We're going to play out with this song, It's Save the World by Yours Truly, featuring Rita Mora. I made this song with Greta Thunberg to raise money for the most affected people in areas, Fridays for Futures. This is Save the World. Thank you for joining us this week. I hope you enjoy these shows as much as I do, because I tell you what, there's a lot going on in the world, but this Monday, lunchtime slot gives me so much confidence that we can change this world together. Let's get uncomfortable. Let's be love. Thank you to UK Hail. Thank you to all the listeners. We love you uncomfortably, but we do.